Good evening, blessed people of the Lord. Make a declaration. Health, wealth, and fullness are coming to my household. Every day, in every way, He blesses me according to His covenant promises. I lay hold of everything my God has for me. From this day forward, I walk in the blessings of the Lord. You can be seated while the men of value are placing notes in your hand. Sometimes you have to make a declaration. One of our people has been having, I don't want to say stomach, but intestinal problems. That is cursed. And you are free from that lie of darkness. I'm going to assign a little homework. Read these, heed these, and you'll never be the same.
Amen.
Some people have asked about the Message Bible, and some have asked about the New American Standard for many, many years. I was selling Volkswagens for VWA when I first discovered the 1901 New American Standard Translation. I used to go through used bookstores and I would look for Bibles and old manuscripts from great men and women of God. And when I found the 1901 version of the New American Standard, it changed my reading habits in the New Covenant. It is the most accurate rendering of the themes of the New Testament. Not word for word, that's still the Young translation has the best word for word, but because, for example, I would say in English, bring me a glass of water. But in Spanish, I would say, a glass of water bring to me. French is very much the same way. We put the person as the objective, bring me a glass of water. And they put the object as the person, or as the point of order. So a glass of water, because that's what I'm after, bring to me. So Hebrew is even worse. So, and the Greek New Testament was not proper Greek, it was street Greek, literal, street language. And sometimes written in a very common vernacular of that time. So it's almost impossible to do a word-for-word translation without you going, what the heck am I reading here? Young does that. He gives you exactly what they said, the way they said it, and you go, this don't make any sense at all. Don't they know how to phrase a sentence? So that's why I began studying the New American Standard. I have the Young's literal translation. I have Buku's translations, because I wanted every bit of truth I could wring out of Scripture. So we were talking, and there's a brand new parallel Bible out. Now I know that the man upstairs, Brother Sean, likes the Message translation. And my wife enjoys reading the Message translation just for the fun of reading, because it is very expressive and down to earth. But now you can get the New American Standard, which is the accurate and you can get the Message, which is the up-to-date vernacular. So if you would like to have one of these, they're now in the bookstore, and I'm sure Sister Tammy or whoever's available would hook you up with one of these parallel Bibles, the New American Standard and the Message together. And then this is a classic imperative Bible that has the New International Version, the King James, the New American Standard, and the Amplified. So every page has it in four translations. So you can compare the different translations together and get even more. Now, four translations of the Bible in one volume, and it's only $40. I mean, you got to go somewhere to find that, because most of the time you'll pay $40 for a King James. But this gives you four translations so you can compare the Amplified and New American Standard, the King James, and the New International Version. You can compare them. Then we have another parallel Bible. It's only $25, and this one has the New American Standard Bible, the Amplified, and again, you can read and compare. I carry a New American Standard and Amplified together a lot of the time. On Wednesday nights, I just carry my dagger, New American Standard. But this is like the more expensive parallel Bible that I carry, but it's in a $25 hardcover in the bookstore. Then a few years ago, I began giving out this to different ministers, and I would either give them the 8 translation or the 26 translation, because I have a book that has 26 translations in one binding, and that it does not give you the full script. It only gives you where they are different, but there's 26 translations in one book. This one is the Contemporary Parallel New Testament, and it contains the King James, the New American Standard Version, the New Century Version, the English Contemporary Version, which is the one Brother Bryn Jones tried to get me to start reading. He went out and bought me one and said, I want you to start preaching from this one, but I read it and went back to my New American Standard, because I'm not a Brit, and it didn't flow for me as smoothly as the New American Standard. But this one has the King James, New American Standard, New Century, Contemporary English, the New International Version, the New Living Translation, the New King James, and the Message, all in one text. So you can compare 8 different translations of each verse, and it will enlarge your study habits. Sometimes I will be trying to get the meat out of a verse, and I'm praying and reading it, and I'll read it in 20, 30, 40 translations until I get the impact of what's there, because I know there's more than what I'm reading in one translation. Now, Brother Richard, I gave you the 26. Has it been helpful?
Absolutely.
Who did I give the 8 translations to? These Bibles make a difference when you read the different translations together. And if you're serious about studying the Bible, it makes it very easy for you to do. Have you got your notes?
Yes.
I want you to take a lesson from Rosie tonight. Being lackadaisical at church will not help you, it will not empower you, and it will not better you. Oh, pastor said prosperity is coming on you even if you don't have a job. Well, let's wait and see how that happens. Or you go into, that would be nice, I could use that if it ever happened. Rosie said, I laid hold of it. A day later, she experienced an already of the Lord. Well, pastor, that had already taken place. Everything was already going. How do you know? She believed the word of the Lord. She said, I'll lay hold of it. And she had seen no action up until that point. From that point forward, it's counting the blessings. Promotion is upon the people of this body if they will but take it by faith and decree, promotion is mine. Some of you remember just before we left the I-35 building one morning when the offering was being finished, Brother Arthur had brought it forward to be lifted before the Lord, and I said, wait a minute. As we were about to lift the offering, I heard the Lord say, promotion for you. Well, he hadn't told me that he was considering retirement and looking into it, but he laid hold of the word of the Lord. And now in retirement, he's making more money than he made working for a living. Because blessings overtook him and God promoted him into the land of blessings. Where you don't work and labor for it, it overtakes you. These blessings will overtake you. Tell God, I accept that. These blessings overtake me. Your word said, daily you load me with blessings. Now all of you know what the term loaded means. It's too much alcohol, too much drugs, or more money than you actually need. I'm loaded, and I intend to get worse. I am addicted to blessings. And once I learned I didn't have to suffer for the gospel, that God never wanted a vow of poverty, that God is continually opening windows of abundance. In the next few weeks, you're going to hear testimonies from two or three of our people that they have come under an open window of God pouring out blessings on them. Now then, I don't know if that's directly for you, but I know you can lay hold of it by faith. One year during the MAC, the word of the Lord came to me and I told Brother Lemon, God has a large house in a hub city waiting for you. I told Alfonso, God has a house for you that's coming to you if you'll receive it. Brother Tommy Williams was sitting about where John is, and he said, wait a minute, God is no respecter of persons. I lay hold of that word, and within a year he had an almost $500,000 home on an acre of land in Fort Worth. A beautiful custom-built home, built to their specifications, decorated the way they wanted it. Brother Lemon still didn't have a house. Alfonso still didn't have a house. He does have an apartment, and he does have a church to pastor. What's the difference? One person to whom the word did not even come said, God is no respecter of person. If new houses are out there, I want a new house. We've lived in this dump for 27 years, and when it rains bad, it leaks into the house, and I'm tired of it. And they got a paid-for house. You have to lay hold of the word from the Lord, and you have to take ownership of it. That's my word. I'm receiving it, and it's coming to pass in my life. If you're lackadaisical, you go, well, I'm going to keep my eyes open to see if anything happens. I can tell you right now, ain't nothing happening. Because without faith, what is faith? Trusting the word of God. If you trust it, you'll start making a place for it. Do you truly believe the blessings of the Lord are overtaking you? Then why don't you slow down so they can catch up? Pastor, what do you mean by slowing down? Instead of being busy looking in every direction for how you make ends meet, forget making ends meet. I can tell you this, end meet is not very satisfying. I like ribeye. Now, you may want to eat cow hiney, but I don't want ends meat. I want ribeye. Occasionally a T-bone if they're using a charcoal grill. I don't know why, but a T-bone on a flat iron grill is just not the same as grilled on charcoal. It does something to the flavor. And I don't mind if there's a little ash on it when it gets to me. Just a little charcoal on it makes it taste better. But I like prime cuts. I don't want my ends to meet. I want to walk in blessings. I want to walk in prosperity. All it takes is trust. God, you said it. I received it as mine. Now I'm going to make a place for it. When I was believing God for a car, I told Lou, park on that side of the driveway. I went and got me some new cleaning products, a bucket, a big sponge, and some car washing detergent. And I was setting everything up. I was prepared for when my car got there. It got there, and I've never been without transportation since. And God always lets me ride pretty high, I must admit. Because I found out God don't have a used car lot. Well, I can see y'all just so excited that I can hardly stand it. But the Lord showed me something in His Word this week that I had not really... Sometimes I read verses and I want to get to the blessed part. I want to get to the goodies part. And He said, you've been reading over something. I want you to reread that slowly with emphasis on everything it says. So if you will go to your notes, we're going to do that. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And then He comes back and says, "Whose trust is the Lord?" I had read over that, but I never read into that. What is the difference that he's saying there? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. There are a lot of people who trust in the Lord vaguely. I believe he can heal me. I believe he can bless me. I believe he can take care of me. Well, that's nice. But this says the second phase, whose trust is the Lord. What is the difference in trusting in the Lord and your trust is the Lord? One is rather vague and nebulous. Yeah, I trust in the Lord. I'm sure he'll do what's right by me. The other person goes, no, the Lord is my trust. I believe everything he said belongs to me. I believe he'll do exactly what he said. I don't believe in general blessings. I believe in specific blessings. And he said daily, he loads me with blessings, so daily I'm looking for blessings. For he will be like a tree planted by the waters that extends its roots by a stream. What is he saying? The person whose trust is the Lord will be like a tree who has an endless supply of life-giving water. Meaning you will be like a person who is plugged into God's flow and you will never lack. He goes on to explain that by, and he will not fear when the heat comes. I don't care if the heat comes. I'm hooked up. I'm plugged in. The blessings of the Lord are mine. Health is mine. Wealth is mine. Joy is mine. Peace is mine. I can't wait to see what God does for this body this year. I mean, I'm expecting some of you to come in with reports of just being overtaken. Why? This is the year. The harvest year. Recently, I was telling Daddy, we put a roof on a church in Ghana. We have built a church in Lagos. We have built a dozen churches in Mexico and even built one from the ground up that's called, or was called, the House of the Lord until the pastor quit and somebody else took it over. We've helped build an orphanage, two Bible schools. And I don't mean we sent $100 a month. I mean when they needed thousands of dollars for brick, we sent them thousands of dollars. When they needed a roof put on the chapel, we sent them the money to put a new roof on the chapel. And every time I go down to Victorious Christian Harvesters, I look at the chapel you finished. And I go, our people paid for that roof. And I look at the bricks on the dormitory and classrooms and I go, our people paid for a lot of that. They would run out and say this or that. We got a call from Jerry O'Dell. Their bus had broken down in India and they needed a new bus. I called another pastor and I said, if your church will pay half, we'll pay the other half and we'll buy them a new bus. We bought them a new bus. You've got seed in the ground all over the world. Good seed, big seed. You got small seed in some places like Ireland, but in Mexico, Honduras, in Cuba, in Nigeria. You got big seed you planted. On one church, $70,000. I mean, that's... There is a 3,000-seat church in Lagos, Nigeria, called Christ Peculiar Church, that you gave the money to help them buy the land to put it on. Then you gave them $50,000 to start building, and then when they got the building up and needed to do the plaster and finish out, you gave them another $20,000. The church in Ghana that needed a roof, they needed $6,000 because they had half a roof. You paid for that roof so they could worship without it raining on them. What does that mean? That means that seed all over the world that comes back to us pressed down, shaken together, running over. We have a beautiful new campus. Now, we could have gone the standard church route. Pastor meets with each one of you and says, how much money can you put into the new building? Will you go to the bank and sign a note or make a pledge of $10,000? I determined that that was wrong and we would never put you in bondage. It doesn't say your people will supply the need if you push them. It says do not use coercion, compulsion, guilt to get people to give. Yeah, you can hardly find a church that they won't just whoop it on you. The church has needs, and if you got $2 in your wallet, you're going to hell for not taking care of the church. No, I believe God supplies our need. It's saying a little longer, but it'll be gorgeous. A fabulous campus. And some of these young ministers will lead you into that new realm. And I'll sit back and watch. He will not fear when the heat comes. In this particular passage, they're talking about the heat of weather, that if the tree didn't have its roots in water, it would dry it up and kill the tree. But he's comparing it to you because you have your faith and trust. Remember, it started with trust. You have your trust planted in God's supply. My God supplies all of my need. Therefore, there's not a bill big enough to stop me. There's not a need that can prevent my growth and continued embellishment of the goodness of the Lord. But its leaves will be green. If everybody around me is starving, I will have enough and some to give away. If everybody around me is broke, I'll be rolling in it. Why? Because I not only trust in the Lord is the trust that I've anchored myself to. I am planted by the stream. Do you get what he's saying? I am planted by the stream. Therefore, every promise, every blessing, every good thing, my roots are into because the Lord is my trust. You remember a few months ago I taught you that believing and faith are not synonymous, but believing and trust are. Faith is another way of saying trust. Is the Lord your trust? Do you see yourself as that tree planted by this stream and your roots are drawing the life, so that when death comes, you're still green. When adversity comes, you're still blessed. When nobody around you can find a blessing with a magnifying glass, you're going, it's everywhere. It overtakes me daily. Oh, Pastor, it hasn't been overtaking me. Shut up, fool. You didn't meet the qualifications. Because if you met the qualifications, you could never say it's not happening. No matter what I see or feel, it's happening. No matter what I see or feel, it's happening.
Amen.
And he said, if your trust is in the Lord, I know he can. And your trust is the Lord, I know he will. You're going to have green leaves, shade, and never be thirsty. Because your roots are in the continual stream of his promises. And it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. It didn't say cease to be fruity. It said cease to yield fruit. What does it mean to yield fruit in this context? The tree draws from the water that nourishes the tree to produce what it was designed to produce. What were you designed to produce? The blessings of the Lord. So even when there is a financial drought, a physical drought, any kind of drought in the earth, you go, doesn't faze me. I'm still producing the fruit of blessings. I'm still producing the fruit of covenant. I will not be affected by that which tries to affect me. Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the mind. I try the heart, even to give every man according to his ways. What did God say there? God gives you according to your ways. Your ways of trusting, believing. Hello? Not your ways of waiting and see. Wouldn't it be wonderful if only that were true? You think God's going to bless you when you call him a liar? I'm looking at you not to damn you to hell. I'm looking at you to see how much blessing I can trust you with. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. Are you a giver? Are you a tither? Do you love your fellow man? Do you try to help people out when you can? Then he's going to bless you according to your efforts. Even when all you can do is go to your prayer closet, God, I don't have an extra shirt to give them. This week, I don't even have an extra 20 to give them. But I can lift them up in prayer for 20 minutes. And I can pray them into your blessings in abundance. And I can pray that someone around them, heart, will be made tender and will come to their aid. You don't wash your hands just because you don't have anything to give them. You find a way to give to them. It may not be folded green, but it'll bring it in. God says, don't you realize that I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you? Now, if the Lord is your trust, at this point you go, Daddy God, I thank you for the thoughts and plans you have for me in my life. They're thoughts and plans for welfare and peace. You want me to have abundance and have it in a peaceful climate, and not for evil. You don't want me to endure hardship and to suffer. You want me blessed. It's not your will that I spend 40 years of trudging in the wilderness. It's your will that I accept what you said because I trust you, and I take an 11-day walk, not a 40-year walk. To give you hope in your final outcome. What does that mean? I got it down here, and I got it up there, because this is not my final outcome. It's when I'm walking down heaven's streets in God's presence, basking in the radiance of his eternal supply. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, to feed me, to guide me, to shield me. I shall not lack. One translation says, I shall not lack or desire anything. Why? Because the Lord is my trust. My roots are in his promises. Hebrews 8:6 says, those are old covenant promises, and we have even better promises. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Daddy God, your blessings make me rich. Does it say, make me get by? Does it say, make me get along? It says, make me rich. And I don't have the problem normal rich people do. I'm not a target of everybody's hate. People aren't trying to steal my wealth because it's God-given. And addeth no sorrow with it. One translation I read today says, does not allow problems to accompany that blessing. Sometimes you get a house that's so nice, you lose friends because they're jealous. Sometimes you get a new car and people go, I don't know why they got a car. God could have done that for me. God will never do it for them because they couldn't be happy about your blessing. Because he gives according to your ways. Do you live a life of gratitude and thanksgiving? Even for other people's blessings? Under the old covenant, God promised these and many other blessings. Under the new covenant, you got better promises, better blessings, and a better relationship with the God of the covenant. You have sonship, and they were a people called by his name. It irritates the fire out of me when people send out we're having a prayer meeting, and they quote Chronicles, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Oh, shut up. That has nothing to do with a new covenant believer. I'm not a people called by his name. I'm married to him and I own his name. And I don't have to humble myself. I come boldly before the throne of grace. And I've been to some of these prayer meetings. We're going to spend the first 30 minutes crying and repenting for our sins and for the sins of our nation. Excuse me, I should have stopped at Dairy Queen and got a hot fudge sundae. It would have been much more of a blessing than this mess. And then they start having people come up and read their prayer. Most benevolent Father, God of all truth and righteousness, wilt thou incline thine ear unto us this night? And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. I don't have to beg him to incline his ear towards me. He's hearing everything I have to say and rewarding me according to what I do say. Amen. We have his lordship. What does it mean to have his lordship? Well, if you have a savior, you're missing out on the good stuff. But you'll see a lot of people, they're still looking back to 1956. I received the Lord as my personal savior. He stamped my ticket and I'm headed to the holy place. No. I received his lordship, which means I received victory over death, hell, the grave, poverty, Satan, demons, oppression, suppression, regression, sorrow. That belongs to me under his lordship. You notice the next page is just loaded with information. We are now his family. We're not a people called by his name. We're family. We've been plugged into the family tree. We've been grafted in to bear his fruit. Are you laying hold of what is yours by the new birth? I know I've stressed this a lot about going through your New Testament and finding every promise and writing them down and then take individual ownership of those promises. But there are many people who still don't know what promises are in the New Testament. There are almost 300 promises in the New Testament. How many can you think of? Well, he'll never leave me or forsake me. With his stripes on his heel, he supplies all my need. Boy, you ran out pretty quick, didn't you? Find the promises. Write them down. Take ownership of it. Sink your roots into that flow so you never have a dry day. This is a good book when you read it. If you read over it, you don't get nothing. But if you read into it, Pastor, what does it mean to read into it? I want to know what this verse says. Let me go read it in 4, 5, 10, 20 other translations. Somebody has a nugget for me, and I want that nugget. J.B. Phillips is an excellent rendering of the New Testament. I get goodies out of the Jerusalem New Testament. But there are so many translations. Well, Pastor, you've only talked about 8 translations and 26 translations. There are 187 translations that I know of. So you're not going to run out of translations if you just start pursuing them. But you only need 8 or 10 to just totally change your view. I've heard Lou and Sean say, when I read this in the Message, it just came alive. I've heard other people say, the Amplified, I don't like it because it's so wordy, but it sure makes the promises seem different. Whatever clarifies God's word to you for you, sink your root in. It'll keep you green. Under lordship, all battles are already won. Under lordship, we must celebrate the victory that belongs to us. Daddy, I know this challenge has come for one reason. To let me reinforce your promises and celebrate once again the victory you had over this lie that you've now given me. Lie, I don't know how you're leaving, but you are out of here. Why? I not only trust in the Lord, I trust the Lord. I trust His Lordship. I am sinking my roots into every new covenant promise. From this day forward, I'm going to be the greenest tree you ever saw. Make these commitments real. Like Rosie said, I believed the man of God. I received the word. It produced fruit for me. Amen. Well, she could have just waited to see what happened. That's why you don't have it. You waited to see what happens rather than put your trust in the Lord and then trust the Lord Himself. His nature, His character, His inerrant provision. Father God, I decree the people this night had anointed ears to hear, anointed hearts to receive. Their mind is renewed by your promises, and they are new people expecting new blessings, walking in new authority. And the people said, Amen. Your love, God bless you.